There is something strange occurring in America's national parks, and in these spin-off episodes of Spooky Island Radio, I will attempt to find out what. Missing 411 cases? Check. Bigfoot stories? Check. UFO encounters and more? Check. So join me once a month where I will delve into people's true encounters. Like I said, something strange is occurring in America's national parks. Welcome to the Missing 411 Spooky Island Radio Case Files. Hello everyone and welcome back to the third episode of these Missing 411 Case Files. I'm recording this, you're getting this episode a bit sooner because today was supposed to be a Spooky Island Radio main episode coming out. But you guys have been enjoying these Missing 411 Case Files so much I thought, sod it, let's do it a week early. So basically how I'm going to work it now is... I'm not going to be doing Campfire Tales episodes anymore. So instead of this being a monthly episode, it's going to be bi-weekly. So I'll do an episode, a main episode of Spooky Island Radio, and then it'll be Missing 411, then Spooky Island Radio, Missing 411, that sort of thing. The cat's had enough. Say bye, Lizzie. Yeah, she's had enough. She doesn't want to sit around and listen to me chat shit, but I'm glad some of you guys do. Like I say, welcome back to another Missing 411 Case Files episode. So, yeah, it's a really good episode, I must say. I mean, I say that at the start of every episode, but I think you're really going to like this one. There's a hell of a lot to talk about with this location. Like I said at the end of last episode, I'm going to be talking about the Green Mountain National Forest National Park in Vermont, and specifically a part of it called the Bennington Triangle, which it's got some freaky stuff, some really freaky stuff. Let's jump straight into it. So the Green Mountain National Forest is located in Vermont, and the forest supports a variety of wildlife, including beavers, moose, coyote, black bear, white-tailed deer, wild turkeys, and ruffed grouse. You guys in America have such cool wildlife. I don't know if it's just because... I mean, I love the UK wildlife as well. Like, we've got badgers and we've got foxes and things like that. They're cute. But, like, moose, coyotes... Black bears, yeah, winners. Get sidetracked way too easily. The forest itself, obviously, like I've already said, is situated in Vermont's Green Mountains and is referred to as the granite backbone of the state. The forest contains three nationally designated trails, including parts of the Appalachian Trail, which, like I've said previously, there will be episodes on because... every podcast I listen to, everyone I speak to, they tell me all about the Appalachian Trail and all the freaky stuff that happens there. So trust me, there will be some episodes coming on that in the future. The forest also includes three alpine ski areas, seven Nordic ski areas, and approximately 900 miles... No, that can't be right. Yeah, it's huge. Multiple use trails for hiking, cross-country skiing, snowmobiling, horse riding and bicycling. Jesus Christ, what can't you do here? It's big. That's what I'm trying to get across. The park itself encompasses more than 400,000 acres in southwestern and central Vermont, forming the largest public land area in the state, characterized by striking scenery that combines rugged mountain peaks with quintessential Vermont villages. The forest is an attraction for many visitors. Sounds nice, right? Well, you're wrong, alright? You're very fucking wrong. Like I said, there's a much darker side to this national park. You've most likely heard of the Bermuda Triangle. Well, let me introduce you to the Bennington Triangle. It was dubbed this by an author called Joseph A. Citro. The Bennington Triangle is a loosely defined area that encompasses the ghost town of Glastonbury, once a small logging community centred around these mountains in southwestern Vermont. Abandoned at the end of the 19th century after the end of the logging boom, the greater Glastonbury area is now mostly untouched, pristine wilderness, and is considered remote even by Vermont standards. Let's start right at the beginning, shall we? So, starting with a string of missing persons cases over 70 years ago. The now abandoned town has been the eerie setting of numerous unexplained disappearances, unsolved murders, and bizarre sightings that continue to this day. In 1945, a five-year span of disappearances began in the Bennington Triangle with the vanishing of Middy Rivers. She was a 74-year-old local hunting guide, and Rivers led a party of four hunters around the area of Hell Hollow in the southwest woods of Glastonbury before she was suddenly lost. And I'm sorry, but if you call something Hell Hollow, what do you expect to happen? Like, obviously people are going to go missing. There's obviously something nice not there. Who even called it Hell Hollow? Anyway, after an unsuccessful initial search, many still believed that this knowledgeable woodsman would be able to survive and soon surface in town. However, this was not the case. Soon, more than 300 concerned locals and US Army soldiers were dispatched from Massachusetts' Fort Devens, and they combed through the vast wilderness for 8 days, turning up not a single shred of evidence as to the whereabouts of Rivers. The following year saw arguably the most infamous missing persons case in Vermont history. The disappearance of Paula Weldon. Weldon was an 18-year-old student at Bennington College who decided to hike a leg of the Long Trail during Thanksgiving break, when most of her peers had returned home for the holiday. She was last seen on Sunday, December the 1st, 1946, and was reported to be wearing an easy-to-spot red dress and entering the Long Trail near Glastonbury Mountain. Weldon never showed up for her Monday classes, spurring a massive search party of more than 1,000 people and a reward of $5,000. Many, including Weldon's father, criticised the authorities' lack of sophisticated methods in handling this case, which actually served as the catalyst for the founding of the Vermont State Police 7 months later. There have also been many reports over the years of a Sasquatch-like creature dubbed the Bennington Monster. And it is said that the Sasquatch-like creature is supposed to prowl the area. And even supposedly on that day, several witnesses saw Weldon hitchhike to the trail and begin her walk. Now, I'm sure there are a myriad of plausible explanations, but having a Sasquatch lurking in the woods makes for some campfire stories and some interesting thinking when it comes to these missing persons cases. Now, skip forward a bit, and exactly 3 years after her disappearance, a more supernatural and spooky event took place. A 68-year-old man named James E. Tedford boarded a bus to Bennington after visiting relatives in St. Albans, Vermont. Numerous eyewitnesses, including the driver, later confirmed that Tedford had been in his seat as late as the last stop before Bennington. Yet, when the bus finally pulled into Bennington station, Tedford was nowhere to be found, after he implausibly vanished into thin air whilst inside a moving vehicle. Baffled passengers noted that Tedford's luggage and an open bus timetable remained on his seat. If the witnesses are correct, Tedford would have disappeared from his seat as the bus was travelling down Route 7 through the Bennington Triangle. Nearly a year later, in mid-October 1950, 8-year-old Paul Jepson went missing. He was last seen happily playing in the family pickup truck by his mother, who left to tend to pigs at the dump where she and her husband were caretakers. Then he vanished without a trace, and as the case dragged on without resolution, some suggested that Jepson might be a demise of the hands of his parents and was dinner for the pigs. But in keeping with this eerie feeling of the Bennington Triangle, the boy's father told a local newspaper that it was perhaps the lure of the mountains that pulled in his missing son, as the boy had apparently talked for nothing else about nothing else for days prior to his disappearance. I mean, that sounds like someone's trying to cover up their trail, I don't know, but yeah. In addition to the hundreds assembled for a search party, a New Hampshire sheriff brought in a bloodhound to sniff out the missing boy, The dog was able to pick up his scent, but abruptly lost the trail at a nearby crossroads, suggesting a possible abduction by a motorist. Now, if you've been listening to my episodes, you'll know one of the factors of a missing 411 case is that the sniffer dogs either can't get a scent trail at all, or lose it soon after they get one. So, just something to think about. You know, I suppose an 8-year-old boy picked up by a motorist, I suppose the trail would stop there. But you never know. Who knows? No one knows. That's the whole point. Only about 2 weeks later, 53-year-old Frieda Langer was an experienced hiker and survivalist familiar with the area, and she went missing on the Somerset area of the Long Trail bordering East Glastonbury. After hiking a brief half mile with her cousin, Herbert Eisner, Langer fell into a stream and set back to the camp to change her clothes, where her husband was resting with a hurt knee, but neither her husband nor her cousin ever saw her again. Helicopters from the Connecticut Coast Guard and US Army in Massachusetts, as well as local aircraft from Citizens and the Vermont Aeronautics Commission, helped search for the woman. As many as 400 people, including the Massachusetts National Guard, meticulously searched the area, but yet finding nothing. But soon, they did find something, and this is the only known disappearance of the Bennington Triangle where a body has turned up. 6 months after she went missing, Langer's corpse was found near the Somerset Reservoir. Curiously, an open area that had been searched extensively numerous times in the previous months. Yet, even with a body, the case still little resolution. The body had decayed so badly that no cause of death could be determined, only fueling further speculation of what kind of disturbing end she might have met. Right, so this is where it gets really juicy, especially with the missing 411. I mean, I shouldn't say juicy because, you know, a woman died. So she was found in an area which had been previously searched, which is one of the factors that usually comes into these missing 411 cases. People or bodies usually turn up where they've already been searching for days or even weeks. And also by the water. She was by the Somerset Reservoir. And again, that's coincidence, that's the word I'm looking for. So in one of the previous cases, the boy, they picked up a scent trail and it just disappeared. And in this case, the body turned up where they previously searched by water. So, you know, it's something to think about. I mean, if we go back to one of my previous episodes, my last missing 411 case files, I told the story about a young girl who went missing in the Ozarks, only to be found again where people had already searched, and it's about 12, 30 miles away. But yeah, go listen to that episode because you'll start to see the similarities. But yeah, very, very strange. Right, and that brings us to the end of the most famous disappearances of the area, and all of them happened just within a few years of each other, which doesn't sound like a lot when you think about it and just how strange they were. It does seem like yet again something strange is occurring in another American national park. It may also have been the doing of a big cat such as a lynx, bobcat, cougar, but the former two are not usually aggressive to humans, and there's been no credible mountain lion sightings since, I believe, something like the 1940s in that area. And this is why many are convinced that there are paranormal forces at work, backed up by terrifying voices allegedly showing up on dead air radio, sightings of mysterious figures and unexplained navigation mishaps. The mountainside is also littered with unmarked mine shafts, which may cause hikers who go off trail to plummet to their deaths. However, with no proper evidence to go on, it seems like the Bennington Triangle will remain a creepy mystery forever. Now, we're sort of coming towards the end of what I've got here, but I was on a forum for walkers and hikers who have had experiences in the national parks, and here's a comment from a young guy who spent a year hiking through some of the national parks, and this is what he wrote about the Bennington Triangle. Speaking of weird places, the AT... Appalachian Trail, I think, That's all I can gather from it.
Crosses through an area known as the Bennington Triangle. Going south, you'll soon cross over Glastonbury Mountain and then enter the town of Bennington. Apparently, there were four or five missing 411 style disappearances there in the 1940s.
You are correct, sir. If you listen to my podcast, you will know that there were these sort of disappearances.
And the natives avoided the area because they believed that the devil lived on the mountain. When I walked through the day before, I had written a blog post about how the trail was teaching me to follow my gut, and how following my gut always seemed to save me from storms and other things like that, and just generally good turnout. Well, this day I was planning to go through a small town called Manchester Centre, then climb onto Glastonbury Mountain and camp on the mountain itself. In Manchester Centre, I ate a burrito and had the worst stomach cramps I've ever had. Tried using the bathroom to wait it out, absolutely nothing. So I booked a room in a motel. Literally the second I've paid and got to my room, the stomach pain goes away. These cramps were so bad that I was walking hunched over that just disappeared in a matter of seconds. But I'd already paid and so I stayed. Everything was 100% normal after I changed my plans. I climbed the mountain and went into Bennington the next day. Only after I realised I would have been on the mountain on the night of a full moon. Is that relevant? No idea, but it just struck me that it's very odd how I wrote about following my gut, that my gut literally forced me not to climb that mountain. On the way down is where the Long Trail and the AT, Appalachian Trail, intersect, and that intersection is where a young woman disappeared in the 40s without a trace. Weird.
That is very weird. Like, and I agree with that. I do think you should always follow your gut. Sort of missing 411 case, not related, but it's going to sound so strange, but years ago, was it the second Halloween film? And it was Halloween Kills, the second one. I was like, yeah, going to go see it in the cinema, can't wait. It was really busy. I can't remember when it came out, but the cinema was really, really busy. So I had like this really crappy seat. I didn't really want to sit there, but it was packed, so I literally had nowhere to go. And there was like a few seats empty to the right of me. And there was like this guy just sat there in like a Michael Myers mask, right? And I was like, this guy could be a psycho. Like, something in my gut was just telling me, like, I need to leave. Like, what if he's like a crazy person that wants to like murder a few people and kill himself dressed as Michael Myers at the first showing of Halloween Kills? Like, and yeah, I basically had this pass where I got free tickets, so I thought, you know what, sod it, I'm leaving. And I didn't hear of a killing, but you know, I know exactly what he means when you have that gut feeling. There was something that day that was just telling me to get out. Because I thought, who's going to be the first person he's going to get to and stab? It's going to be me, isn't it? Sat next to him, no one in between us. So yeah, I can very much relate to that. But yeah, back on to my final thoughts on this episode. Back to your scheduled programming. So, yeah, the end of another episode. So yeah, my final thoughts. I mean, again, very interesting and some of the stuff very disturbing. So here's a few sort of things that I came up with during my research and sort of my ideas. So people thought back in the day that the idea of a serial killer could be committing these murders. I mean, presume they're murders because we don't find the body apart from in one of the cases. But then, like, a serial killer didn't have an MO. Like, they were all different age, different sex, different, I don't know. So it doesn't seem to fit, like, one specific serial killer's MO. Or it could just been separate people that were killing people. I'm not too sure, but the other thing is, like, nature could be killing these people and taking them. So you've got, like, things like bears or bobcats, things like that. Or, you know, hypothermia, starvation, killing people if they become lost. That's definitely a possibility. If they get really lost and off the trail, how are you ever going to find somebody like that? But there was that story of the man just vanishing off the bus. I mean, his stuff was still there. People said they didn't see him get off the bus. And, you know, some of the cases have similarities with other missing 411 cases. So, you know, sometimes these people disappear close to water. The search dogs that pick up, that can't pick up the scent trail, pick it up and then lose it. And of course, more links with my Grand Canyon episode, where there are mine shafts that could be all linked up and possibly something or a population of something living down there. You know, there was on the, my Grand Canyon episode, it's a bit different, I suppose, mine shafts and these caves built into the Grand Canyon, but it's all connected routes underground that something could be using. You know, somebody could, it could grab something like a Sasquatch or who knows what, could get somebody from one end, take them down a mine shaft, and you'll never see them again. Or they end up 13 miles away and then they're released by whatever took them. You know, it's strange. And Bigfoot is, and Sasquatch, obviously, same thing. From what I think, aren't they? Like a abominable snowman thing? I don't know. Cryptids such as Bigfoot are known to have been sighted in this area. You know, or could it be aliens and UFOs? You know, what took that man in the blink of an eye off that bus, leaving all his possessions there? You know, he was never found again. Like, how does that happen? You know, I mean, we'll never know. What I do know is that there's something very strange occurring in the Green Mountain National Park, and more specifically, the Bennington Triangle. So what do you think? Let me know. Send me a message on Instagram, or send, if you've had any experiences yourself hiking, I'd love to hear them. You can send them to me at spookyislandradio@outlook.com. Because, yeah, I will get around to going to America at some point. I've just, you know, got no money at the minute. I will, once I get a good job, I can save up and start travelling places like this, because I'd love to do like a 2-week hiking trail through like some national park or something. I'd love it. So yeah, I'd love to hear from you guys who maybe have done something like that before. Have you seen anything? What do you think it is? Send me a message, let me know. So thank you again for listening. Follow me on Instagram, TikTok, all that crap. And yeah, thank listening until next week's episode. So yes, it'll be next week, it will be Spooky on the Radio main story, and then No More Campfire Tales, which is going to come straight back into the missing 411 case files. So yeah, next, in 2 weeks time, I'll be taking you to the Rocky Mountain National Park in Colorado, for some more spooky and unexplainable things occurring in that national park as well. So until then, catch you on the flippity flip. Bye bye.